Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. It's good to be in the house of God. Can you say amen to that? It's wonderful to be part of what God is doing. I'm going to take time tonight to share with you my vision. The Bible tells us this in Acts chapter 2, and we're not going to turn there, but in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says in the last days that young men will have visions and old men will dream dreams. David said this. David said, I have been young and now I'm old. I can say with David, I have been young and now I'm approaching old age. I can say that I, as a young man, had visions. That I didn't have visions of rain clouds or anything like that. I'm not talking about visions of strange things. I went to the rescue mission downtown. I went to preach at the rescue mission. I was a young kid, man. I was like 16, 17 years old. And I got up to preach. And when I got up to preach, I said, open your Bibles. And as I said that, a man sitting right down here stood up and said, I had a vision. Just like that. I thought, oh, no. I didn't have one of those. And he talked about a gold hand coming out of the sky. And then some people came and took him away. I didn't have that kind of vision. But God put in my heart a vision of reaching this city with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that God will give young men visions and he'll give old men dreams of what could be accomplished and what should be accomplished for Christ. God gave me a vision when I was a young person about coming back to Las Vegas and starting a church that was doctrinally pure, a church that was morally pure, and a church that had practical holiness, where people were not just talking about the Bible, but they were living the Bible. You know people who talk about the Bible who don't live the Bible. They can quote you chapter and verse and they know things about the Bible. But you look at their life and you say, man, look at the way that person lives. We don't want just to have talk. We want to have walk. That's what I call practical holiness. So that we're not just talking the talk, but we're walking the walk, as we talked about this morning, that as we said, that baptism is the first step of obedience. We begin to walk the walk so that God can work through us. And my desire was this. I'd grown up here in Las Vegas, and I'd been in different churches, some churches who denied the deity of Christ. I went to a youth pastor at a Baptist church here in Las Vegas, a very well-known Baptist church back then in Las Vegas. I went to that church, and in fact, at that time, that was the largest Baptist church in Las Vegas. And I said to him, the Jesus People movement had gone on. That was right after the hippie and the yippie movement of the 1960s, and then it went in at the end of that, in the early 1970s, came along the Jesus People movement, the Jesus Freak movement, and I got involved in that, and that's how I got pulled into Christianity. I saw some reality and some kids that were actually wanting to do what was right, and I got pulled into that and went to gospel concerts and got involved in that, and when I got involved in that, I really began to get burdened about real Christianity. I'd gone to church. I went to this Jesus People thing, and they gave me a button. I put it on my shirt. It looked like this. Some of you who were alive back then remember, there was a white button with a little blue hand and a cross on top of the little finger, and it said Jesus. It just said one way, Jesus, one way, only one way. And I started wearing that every place I went, Jesus, one way. And I went in and I talked to our youth pastor, the youth pastor of this rather large church, and I said to him, I said, what do you think about the Jesus People movement? And he said, well, he said, I think it's okay. He said, the one problem I have with it, I thought he was going to say, all these guys have got long hair, or they don't look very respectful, or I thought that's the kind of thing he was going to say, but he didn't. He said, the one problem I have with it is what your button says. I said, what's that? He said, one way. He said, you guys say, and the Jesus People movement says, there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus. This is the youth pastor of at that time, the largest Baptist church in Las Vegas. Your button says there's only one way to get to heaven. How can that be? The youth director is asking the newly committed young Christian. How can that be? He said to me, what about the Buddhists? What about the Muslims? What about the people who believe in other gods? And I thought, well, they're wrong. I'm just a brand new Christian, and I said, they're wrong. There is only one way to get to heaven according to the Bible. And I said, well, what do you believe about heaven and hell? And he said, well, I don't really believe in a literal hell. He said, I don't believe in a literal heaven. I believe if you've done good all of your life, when you die, your consciousness will want that which is good and think those good thoughts, and you'll go and you'll think and feel good throughout eternity. And he said, if you live bad and you do bad things, your conscience will be defiled and you will have bad feelings and feel bad throughout eternity. I thought, yeah, you'll feel bad in hell. You'll feel bad. And that's what I thought. I thought, man, that's crazy. I'm not telling you something that I read about. I'm telling you something I experienced. That there were people in churches that did not believe that the Bible was the Word of God, that did not believe that Jesus was the God of the Bible, that did not believe in a literal heaven and a literal hell, that did not believe that did not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, that did not believe in the miracles of God. And I wound up being invited to a Pentecostal church where a Pentecostal preacher named David Wilkerson was preaching on a literal tribulation, and he talked about the second coming of Jesus Christ, and he talked about a literal hell. And I'll tell you what, when I listened to that, I thought, this is real, and I committed my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I went to Bible college because I was burdened about reaching people with the truth of the gospel. And I wanted to come back here because the few churches that I was associated with were not preaching the gospel. They weren't telling people how they could know for sure they were going to heaven. And even those that were genuinely saved were not aggressively reaching out to this community to tell people how they could know for sure they were going to heaven. And I began to pray for Las Vegas, Nevada. The Bible said, and I began to have a vision for reaching this city with the gospel. I went out to Sunrise Mountain. I stood on the side of Sunrise Mountain, sat down on the side of Sunrise Mountain, and I said, Lord, because I heard that a Presbyterian preacher had prayed over Scotland. His name was John Knox. He prayed, give me Scotland or I die. And I would pray to God, God, give me Las Vegas or I die. I want to reach Las Vegas with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to reach this entire city with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was burdened about that. As a teenager, as a young person, God just burdened my heart to reach lost people. I would read passages like Jesus looked on the multitude, and he had compassion on them as he looked on them because they were like a sheep having no shepherd. I would pray for Las Vegas, and I really did not even know what I was praying. I later began to pray for America, for revival in America. Somebody asked me David, what is America? What do you mean when you're praying for revival in America? And I thought, I don't really know what that means. Is America a concept? Is it an idea? Is it a landmass? What is America? And then I began to think that it must be the principles of America, the foundation of America. And I was burdened. God just gave me a vision of reaching our country, and I thought the way that's going to happen is by people reaching their city. The Bible says in Acts that God would give visions to young men and dreams to old men to do things for God. And then the Bible tells us that as the church grew, as it multiplied, that the people who were against the cause of Christ fought against the disciples. And the Bible tells us that they brought them before them and they threatened them and said, we don't want to hear about you preaching in this name anymore. In Acts chapter 4, the Bible says they let them go after they threatened them, after they had threatened to hurt them. They said, we don't want this to be spread. We don't want to hear any more about you preaching in the name of Jesus. And so in verse 23 of Acts chapter 4, the Bible says, and being let go, they went to their own company and they reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And the Bible says, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord. And this is what they prayed. Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. That's in Psalm chapter 2. For a truth, they say, they're praying, of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel are gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. They did this wicked thing, but you're the one that determined that it be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak, we may speak thy word with boldness. The idea here is they get together, they're threatened, and they said, God, you said this was going to happen. God, we pray that you'll give us boldness to continue to preach the gospel by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in thy name, in the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the Bible says, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. They prayed that God would give them the boldness to preach the word, and God answered their prayer and gave them boldness to preach. So they go out and they continue to preach. During this same time, there is a miracle that takes place. Ananias and Sapphira come and offer a false offering to the Lord, and God kills them. And the Bible says after that, people are talking about the church. Whoa, God is really moving there. If you get out of line in God's church, he wipes you out. Now the Bible says after that took place, the Sanhedrin gets together and they're really upset. The Sanhedrin was the ruling body of Jews and made up of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they got together and they said, and of the high priest and the priest's office, they got together and they said, listen, these people are still preaching. We've warned them not to preach. They're still preaching in our name. So in verse 17 of chapter 5, the Bible says, then the high priest rose up and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. They're really, really mad. That's what that means. They're really upset. Because God's doing miracles, and they're preaching in the name of Jesus, and they're saying that Jesus died and was buried and rose from the dead, and that the people who were responsible for his death were the Sanhedrin, and the people that were the person that was responsible for his life was God, because he was the Son of God, and they didn't want to hear this message. Now they're really mad because they warned these people, and then they let them go, and now they're out preaching again. So the Bible says they got really mad in verse 18. They laid hands on the apostles and they put them in the common prison. They took them and said, okay, you guys won't listen. You're going to prison. And they throw them in jail. I love this. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go and stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. So the Sanhedrin say, you are, we told you not to do this. And they go and they just pick them up and they arrest them and they just throw them in the prison with all the common prisoners. Just get there. Now they'll shut up. Now we don't have to worry about them. And they go back and they meet together and say, we took care of this whole problem. But while they're celebrating because they got rid of the big mouth Christians, they're thrown in jail. An angel who's not listening to them but listening to God goes and opens the prison door and says, come out, boys. And when you come out, I want you to go back to where you were and preach the same message. And so they said, good, we'll go out. And so the disciples leave and they go out and they preach the gospel. The angel of the Lord, verse 19, by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go and stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning. They listened to the angel. They went there early in the morning and they taught. But and of course, that's where the high priests are, who ordered that they be thrown in jail. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and they called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. So the high priest the next day says, okay, those guys that we threw in jail, bring them to us now. We're going to deal with this issue. But the officers came and found them not in prison. They weren't there. And they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety. Isn't it nice? These people were gentlemen. When they left, they shut the door behind them. And so they said, the prison truly we found shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now the high priests and the captains of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, and they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. They said, oh no, well, where'd these guys go? And this doctrine that they keep teaching, they're telling everybody that we killed Christ and that Christ is risen from the dead, and this is just going to grow and grow and grow. Then came one of them and told them, saying, I mean, they're talking about this to each other. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And where did they go? They're probably hiding somewhere, but they weren't hiding somewhere. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom we put in prison, yeah, they're standing in the temple and they're teaching the people. Then came the captain of with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. They came and they got him and said, hey, would you please come with us? Because we have a meeting, and would you please come? Because they didn't want to be stoned by the people that the disciples were ministering to. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them. And I read all of that story to tell you to read this verse, verse 28, saying, we did straightly command you that you should not teach in this name. And behold, you have filled, now listen to these words, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. You have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Let's read that together out loud. You have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Let's read that one more time. Ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Father, in the next few minutes, help me to explain why it's so important that we fill Las Vegas with your doctrine. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, when I got, as a young man, got burdened about reaching this city, I thought, I had heard messages preached on this verse, that they filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. They filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. I thought, man, that's what I want to do in Las Vegas, Nevada. I want to fill Las Vegas with right doctrine. I knew as I came back to Las Vegas and I went door to door that doctrines filled this city. Many doctrines. I went door to door and I met people who were Mormons, great, nice, wonderful, gracious people who were Mormons, but they didn't believe in the doctrine of Jesus Christ, not as the Bible teaches it. They believed that Jesus Christ is one of many gods. They believed that Jesus Christ is the brother, the half-brother of Lucifer. They believed that that Jesus Christ was a man just like us, and that one day we'll become gods if we follow all the teachings of Mormonism. That certainly wasn't the doctrine of the Word of God, yet these were nice people. I met, as I went door to door, Jehovah's Witnesses, and they were a little bit more adamant. They believe that Jesus is Michael the Archangel, that he's just an angel, that he's a created being. They don't believe that he is God of gods. And they were aggressively going door to door telling people about Jesus, or telling people about Jehovah and denying that Jesus Christ and Jehovah are one and the same. I met Catholics from door to door. Sometimes they were pleasant. Sometimes, I'm just telling you the truth, they were very angry that we weren't part of the true church and that we taught that salvation is by grace through faith and that all you have to do is put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you can go to heaven. You don't have to become a member of the Catholic Church. And that made people upset because we don't believe that you have to work to get to heaven. We believe that we're all sinners, and because we're sinners, we all deserve to go to hell, and there's nothing we can do to change that. That Jesus Christ is God in human flesh, and that he came and he suffered and he died to pay the penalty of our sin. He was buried. He rose from the dead, was seen by hundreds of people, and went back to heaven. And that the only way you can get to heaven is by putting your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did for you. That's the only way you can get to heaven. You have to come and ask Jesus to give you eternal life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the only way you can get to heaven. That's what we believe. That's not what Catholicism teaches. Catholicism teaches that you have to believe in Jesus, but then you also have to believe and follow the sacraments of the Catholic Church. And if you don't do that, then you're not really saved and you're not going to go to heaven. Those doctrines are contrary, but I'm telling you, Las Vegas is filled with those doctrines. I thought about the only radio station, only Christian radio station. There were many, many radio stations and many, many television stations in Las Vegas. There was not one single Christian television program that I knew of, except for 1 or 2 hours on Sunday morning. And there was no Christian, the only Christian radio station was a charismatic or Pentecostal radio station. And those were good people again. And many charismatic people have trusted Christ as their Savior, but their doctrine is different than our doctrine. Their doctrine, the Pentecostals believe that you can lose your salvation. And so it's salvation by grace without, or plus works. And when it came to teaching practical holiness, I saw a lot of that lacking, and I saw a lot of playing, I thought, to the flesh, and it burdened my heart, and I thought, Lord, I want to reach Las Vegas with doctrine that is pure, with morals that are pure, with practical holiness. So I thought, how am I going to do that? Well, the key way to do that is, number one, to start a local church. And so I just decided what we're going to do, and by the direction of God, I really believe that God placed on my heart to start a local church. Jesus said unto Peter in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, he said, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It was my desire in starting a local church to establish a base, number one. And I want you to know, it took us many years. We were in rented facilities for 13 years, and I kept telling people about the fact that we were going to have a base of operation, that we wanted to have a place where we could have a large piece of property, and from that large piece of property, we could do many, many things. But we were without property for at least 10 years. And then it took us 3 years, once we got the property, to actually build a building. And it was in our 13th year that we actually were able to move on this, and we finally had 13 years. Now, I talk about that, and I've said that in less than a minute and a half, but I want you to understand that was 13 years. 13 years we prayed. 13 years we fasted. I mean, I didn't fast for an entire 13 years, you understand? But throughout that 13 years, I fasted from time to time. There's evidence contrary to the fact that I fasted the entire time. So, but we fasted and prayed that God would give us a place, a base of operation. And God gave that to us. And in 1991, we moved in here. I wanted to establish a base. I wanted to establish a Christian school. Because I really felt that if we could take children from the time they were toddlers and teach them in Sunday school, and then take them from the time they were in kindergarten through the 12th grade, teach them the Bible and teach them a Christian worldview and teach them truth, that we could shape their lives so that they would grow up and want to live for the Lord and want to serve the Lord. So I wanted to establish a Christian school. I wanted to plant more churches. I didn't want to just have one church. I wanted a base of operation through which we could establish other churches in the Las Vegas Valley and around this area, because my thoughts have always been that we need to have a 7-Eleven mentality and not a supermarket mentality. You know, the supermarket mentality is wherever you are, any part, you got to drive to this super place, like Fry's Electronics. There's one Fry's Electronics. I want Fry's Electronics to be like a block from my house, because it's got great toys in there, great things to look at and play with. Can I hear an amen from Yen Lamason? Okay, I thought there would be an amen there. So, but there's only one in the entire town. So if you want to get all the super duper deluxe stuff, you have to drive all the way over to where Fry's is. It's like California. So you have to drive there to get electronics. I really believe in the idea that we don't just need one mega church in town. What we need to do is understand that this is a growing city. When we moved here, there were 400,000 people. Now there's over 2 million people. And my thoughts were, we need to establish 20 independent Baptist churches in the Las Vegas Valley. So from this base of operation, it was my desire to establish churches all over the valley. And we've done that. We've tried to help plant churches. When our church started here in Las Vegas, somebody said there's a need for a church. There's a couple of ladies out in Pahrump that want a church to be started. So a pastor said, could you help us start a church in Pahrump? I said, well, I'm starting a church here. He said, well, maybe in the afternoon you could go out and meet with these ladies. And so what I would do is we would have Sunday school, we'd have church, and I would leave Sunday afternoon, and I'd drive out to Pahrump, and we went to the community center out there, and we started an independent Baptist church, and I'm driving back and forth and back and forth every Sunday, and it was great because we were 22 years old, and I was on a ride with my wife every Sunday afternoon, and we told people we started a church in Pahrump. That was the first church that we helped start. And then later on, it's about 6 months later, somebody else came to Las Vegas, wanted to help start a church. And so in all, we've helped about 11 or 12 churches get started in the Las Vegas Valley. That's what we wanted to do. But first, we wanted to get this base of operation. We wanted to get a school started. We wanted to plant more churches. And then at the same time, I thought, you know, we need a media through which we can reach the entire valley. And the only radio station that I knew of was, at that time, was a charismatic radio station. And I thought, I want a radio station, to start a radio station that would promote independent Baptist message around this city. And I just prayed that God would allow us to do that. I can remember in 1987 when we first applied to the city. The city said, what do you want to put on this property? And I said, I want to put a radio station on this. And they said, you better put that on the plan, because if you don't put it on the application, then it'll never happen, because if it's not in there now, they're not going to grant it to you later on when the city grows out to that size. And I thought, well, we'll have this next week, you know, we'll have it in the next year, but I'll put it on the paper like they asked us to. And so we put it down in 1987, an absolute impossible dream, absolute impossible vision. But in 1987, we put it on the plan. In 1981, that plan was approved. And we are on that property. God gave us a base of operation. God gave us allowed us to establish a church. God allowed us to establish a school. God allowed us to plant more churches. God has allowed us now to start a new ministry. In 1977, we started that church. There were 68 people that were present that day. We did that by going door to door. You say, why did you go door to door? That's our first meeting. We had 68 people in that service, and two people trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Those two people are sitting right this lady right here trusted Christ as her Savior, and I believe it was this lady right here. Her name was Vicky, her name was Glenda. Both of them had never been in church, and both of them trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior that day. And their lives were changed for eternity. And we began to see God work. You say, why did you go out door to door? Why did you go out? Because there was no other way to get the gospel. We didn't have any money. All we had was knuckles. And we had about $500 that we could use to print materials. And so we printed these materials. And I thought they were really sharp. They were blue, and they had a little cross on the front, and we had black print on blue paper because that looked like it was color. You buy the blue paper, and you put black print on it, and it was black and blue. And so Liberty Baptist Church was black and blue all over. And so we went out and passed those out. I said to my printer, what do you think of our flyer? He said, you were asking me? I said, yeah. He said, I think it's terrible. I said, why? He said, well, when I look at it, it looks like a Navy. And I looked at it, and I said, yeah, it sort of looks like the Navy symbol there. And so it's not good when you're in an Air Force town. So, but we went out door to door, and we passed those out, invited people to come to church. In fact, we changed the flyer to tan. So it wasn't blue, it was tan. So it didn't look so much Navy. But we did everything that we could to reach the gospel. It wasn't until in 1999 that we finally were able to establish a base. 1991, I'm sorry, we finally established a base of operation. It was in February 1991 that we moved to this property, and we gave the gospel to everyone. At that point, when we moved here, we were able to give the gospel to every single home in the city of Las Vegas. Let me tell you what happened. We prayed, and we said, God, we're moving in this new property, and we're flat broke. In fact, when we were going to move on the property, I thought we were going to move on to this debt-free. We had asked God to give us this property, and through a series of miracles, God gave us this property. We were able to buy this property from the city of Las Vegas. From the city of Las Vegas, it was worth $2 million. And we were able to buy it from the city of Las Vegas for $90,000. We bought 21 and a half acres for $90,000. We sold the back portion of it within the year. We sold the back portion of it for $870,000 in total. With that, we were able to build the auditorium that you're sitting in and the first wing that you have going back there, except it didn't cost us $800,000. I thought that's what it would cost us. It cost us $1.2 million to build it. And so we had to borrow $400,000. I didn't even know how to borrow that kind of money. I've learned a lot since then. But we had to borrow $400,000. So frankly, by the time we were ready to move in, we were flat broke. We had no money. And it was my desire, since we were moving in here, and I had prayed every day. I want to take that back. I don't know if it was every day, but I prayed all the time that God would allow us to give the gospel to every single home in the city of Las Vegas. Back then, there were 350,000 people who lived in the valley, or 350,000 homes, I'm sorry. There were 350,000 homes in the Las Vegas Valley. And so to get the gospel out to them, and to do what we wanted to do in the area of outreach was going to cost us about $40,000 to get the gospel to every single home in the city of Las Vegas. And why would you do that? Why would you want to do that? Because of what the Bible says. The Bible says that in the book of Acts, we just read in Acts chapter 5, that they filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. And I wanted to fill Las Vegas with the doctrine of Jesus Christ. That was my burden. That was my desire. That's all I wanted to do. And I prayed that God would allow us to do that. I remember praying while Ronald Reagan was president. God, let me do this before he's not president anymore. Because, you know, the next president could be like coming against Christians and we won't have the freedom to do this. So God, let me get the gospel to every single home. Then we got the property in 1987. He was out of office in 1988. And then George Herbert Walker Bush became president. And I thought, okay, we've got a few more years. But it's in 1991. It was in 1991 we moved into this property. And I thought, how in the world are we going to get $40,000 to be able to mail the gospel? We had knocked on hundreds of thousands of doors. But I thought, how are we going to get the gospel to all of the city? And I developed a plan to get the gospel to every single home in the city of Las Vegas through a mail out. And I even put together a huge newspaper, looked like the Nifty Nickel. I put together a newspaper that said, you can know you're going to heaven, and I got it all ready, but we had no way to pay for it. There was a man that came to our church at that time. His name was Ron Johnson. Ron Johnson was a tall, skinny man. He worked as a security guard somewhere. I don't know where. He drove, and I think it was a 1963 Volkswagen Bug. It was primer gray. He couldn't even afford to paint the Volkswagen. And this wasn't one you'd look at and say, hey, that's a classic. You'd think, wow, how does that thing run? That was the kind of Volkswagen it was. Now, we looked at it, and I loved Ron, and Ron would say, hey, Pastor, I love you, and how you doing? And he was a great guy. I mean, we loved him, and he came. And he really didn't do much. He just came to church and said, Pastor, thank you for the message, and then he left. Ron came, and he left, and Rent came, and he left. And one day, he walks up to me, just as we're about to move out of that building into here, and I'm praying, God, we need $40,000. We want to do this outreach, but we're flat broke. We thought we were going to move into this building debt-free. We owe $400,000. Lord, but I want to get the gospel to the entire city of Las Vegas. Would you please let me do that? He walked up to me one day, and he said, Pastor, I remember standing on the platform in the old building. He walked up, and he said, Pastor, God just burdened me about something. He said, I would think that maybe you want to use this to buy a bus. But if you don't want to buy a bus, just use it however God wants you to use it. He said, but I want to help reach Las Vegas with the gospel. I said, okay, thank you. And I'm thinking, this is Ron. He's a good guy. He's a sincere guy. It's probably a check for $10 or $20. And what, bless his heart. And thank you, God. And I put it in my pocket. And then I forgot about it. And at the end of the day, I reached in my pocket, and there's this check, and I pulled it out and said, oh, that's that check from Ron. And I opened it up, and I looked at it, and it said $50,000. I threw it on the floor. It didn't bounce. I went to, this is how what great faith I had. I went to our treasurer, and I said, here, deposit this. He looked at it, and he said, whoa. I said, yeah, deposit this. I don't think it's going to make it. But deposit it and call me on Monday or Tuesday and let me know whether that happens. And Monday or Tuesday, he called me. You remember this, Todd? Was it you that called me? I get a phone call. And the phone call said, hey, I just want you to know, preacher, that check that you deposited, I thought, here it goes. It cleared. It cleared. And God gave us what we needed to give the gospel to the entire valley. When we moved into this building, the first three services we had were televised throughout the Las Vegas Valley. And we were able to give the gospel to everyone in the city. You say, was it effective? Yeah, it was effective. You know why? We did what Jesus told us to do. We went into the highways and hedges and we compelled people to come in. And I could tell you stories of people that got saved that if I told you their names, you'd be amazed. Everyone in the city of Las Vegas had an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That was God. God worked in a wonderful way. It was during that time we also started our Faith Promise outreach. We began door-to-door mailings. In 19... In 1998, number four, we began a school to disciple children, Liberty Baptist Academy. Liberty Baptist Academy was never designed as an evangelistic outreach. Liberty Baptist Academy was designed to take children whose parents come to this church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, who are committed to this church, who want their children to grow up living for the Lord Jesus Christ, who want their children to have positive peer pressure, that want their children to be encouraged to live totally and completely for the Lord Jesus Christ, an academically high standard school, a school that had high moral standards. And though we were teaching academics, and though it was academically wonderful, we want a school that's number one priority is to teach moral truth and to develop the character of Christ in our children. Can you say amen to that? That's what the whole idea of the academy was always going to be. And so we have high standards for those who come and for those who are in. We have people who come from time to time who say, hey, can we come to the, we can't be part of the church, but we'd love to have our children in school. That's not the idea. People say, why is it one of the lowest, one of the least expensive schools in town? Probably the most inexpensive school in town, because it's not for everyone. It's for faithful members of Liberty Baptist Church. It's to help us help you disciple your children. So we began that. We started with 43 children. Last year, our high was like 170-some children, and we're seeing children trained. God answered prayer. Then in 2008, we began to pray, and we began to work towards developing a radio station to send the gospel around the Las Vegas Valley. It was at that time that the internet ministry began here at Liberty Baptist Church, and we were able to begin the internet ministry and begin live streaming and begin an internet radio station. And we began to develop that, but we really were praying that God would give us an FM license so that we could reach the gospel. And it wasn't until 2014, September of last year, that God opened the door completely, and the FCC granted us a license to be able to start a Christian radio station here in the Las Vegas Valley. One, again, that is doctrinally pure, one that is morally pure, one that teaches practical holiness. This year, we will see that dream come true. Now, the question is, why has God, and it's totally God, if you saw the progress of this, you would see that this is totally and completely God. The disciples were told by the Sanhedrin, hey, you need to stop doing this thing. You need to stop what you're doing. This is not right. The Sanhedrin said that, and the disciples said, hey, we need to obey God rather than man. We've got to do what God tells us to do. People will say, I never heard of a church that has a Christian radio station. Have you ever heard of a church that gives $500,000 to missionaries every year? Are you familiar with a lot of churches that see people saved every single week? How about a church that has a camping program every Sunday morning throughout the summer? This is Liberty Baptist Church. It's not your old church. It's not some other church. This is Liberty Baptist Church that God has established to reach Las Vegas with the gospel. Can you say amen to that? We don't do what everybody else does, and nobody else tries to do what we do because most people think we're crazy. But God's led us. God has opened doors for us to have a Christian radio station in the Las Vegas Valley. You say, well, isn't it difficult? Listen, when the children of Israel went into the land of Israel, there were giants in the land. And God didn't say, oh, I forgot about the giants. Don't go in. There are giants out there. You know, it's going to be tough if you go out there. If you go out and start, it's going to be tough. Do you know that when we began to start this church, people said, you can't start a church. You just graduated from college. You don't know anything. They were right. 38 years later, I don't know a whole lot more. Do you know that when we started a Christian school, people said, don't start a school, don't start a school, don't start a school. It'll mess everything up. You're doing great. There's a great work. And you know what? We started a school because God told us to. This is not Dave Tice's church. This is God's church. Can you say amen to that? This is not your church. This is God's church. It's our church collectively. It's our home, but it's his church. And we're doing what he tells us to do. When God opens doors, we're going to walk through them. This year, and we've just seen over the years, just God opening one door after another door after another door after another door. 2014 came. God opened the door. Why would we start a Christian radio station? Number one, it's a way to reach into the highways and hedges. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 14, Jesus said, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. I think it's a wonderful thing. We don't live in New York City. In New York City, if you're going to go from point A to point B, or if you're going to go from point A to point Z, you go down inside the ground. You go in under the ground, and when you go under the ground, you get on these things called subways. And when you sit on the subway, this is what people do. They close their eyes and look down, and nobody talks to anybody. I remember getting on the subway and standing next to a guy, and he's looking down. I said, hey, how are you doing? He looked up and said, hey. I don't think he said, hey. He wasn't from the South. He said, hi. I said, I began a conversation with him. It was like, who are you and where did you come from? Are you a Martian? People get on these subways and they go from place to place. They don't have a commuter mentality like we have. You know, we live in Las Vegas and there are cars here. There are cars that people don't know how to drive well, but there are cars here. And between about 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock every day, people are packed in their cars. Do you understand that's the truth? And between about 7 o'clock in the morning till about 10 o'clock in the morning, people are packed in their cars. And you know what they do when they get in their cars? Some of them listen to their iPhones. Some of them are texting. You see them, and they're the ones that are pulled over on the side of the road, and people are talking to them with bubbles on top of their car and yet red and blue, and they're getting talked to. And others are just smashed into other people. They're using those new instruments, you know. But most people are listening to the radio. The Bible tells us that we're to go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. Now, the highways in the Bible are different. That was the places up where people used to worship their false gods. And God said, you go everywhere they are and you reach them with the gospel. This is a way to do that. It's also a way to fill Jerusalem with the right doctrine. And the right doctrine. God wants us to do that. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Bible says, I charge thee. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy, a pastor of a local church. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine. They're not going to listen to sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now listen, he's telling them people aren't going to listen to you, but you go out there and you preach the gospel. They're going to have itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. But watch thou, that is, keep doing it. But watch thou in all, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of the minister, of the evangelist, make full proof of the ministry. That is, you just keep going out there and you keep preaching doctrine. This church preaches proper doctrine. If you believe that, say amen. That's what we do. We preach moral purity. We preach practical holiness. Peter said this, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That is in your lifestyle, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We need a powerful voice in this city that is preaching proper doctrine, that is preaching moral purity, that is preaching practical holiness. And I'm telling you, this radio station is going to give us an opportunity to do that in a very powerful, powerful way. Next, it's another way to reclaim territory that has been lost to Satan. The Bible tells us that Satan, in Ephesians chapter 2, is the prince and the power of the air. When we go into the airwaves, we are invading Satan's space. Can you say amen to that? I like that. I like going after the enemy where the enemy is. And so we have this opportunity to go into the airwaves and tell people about Jesus Christ. Next, it's a way to stay in contact with the faithful believers. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we are there to comfort, to encourage, and to uplift believers. It's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. The Bible tells us that the early church met daily from house to house. That's what the early church did, and they were able to do that in the community and in the culture they lived. The way we can do that today is with this radio station. We can keep in contact with the local church and meet together continually. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house to eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. This gives you the church in your home 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. What an amazing thing that God has given to us to keep us unified, to keep us focused on Him. Next, it's an opportunity to promote the solid Bible teaching and solid Bible churches in and through the Las Vegas Valley. It's an amazing thing what God has given to us. Can you show that map up there? Now, if you got that, did you have that? I can't see. Okay, good. If you'd show that. This shows where our radio tower is. Right here, see where it says LPFM? That means low-powered FM station. Okay, so we're here, and this is a radius, very simple radius of where it'll be most powerful. But if you look up here, you'll see the green. Where it says green, it says that's where your coverage is. I want you to see where the coverage is all throughout the Las Vegas Valley. Red is fringe coverage, so you're going to get static when you get up in this area and out in this area. And then the yellow is city boundaries. But it's an amazing thing what our church is going to be able to do in getting the gospel. And we have fundamental Bible-believing, Bible-preaching teachers that are going to be on this station. And then every hour, every half hour, we will be talking about Liberty Baptist Church and what's going on at Liberty Baptist Church and encouraging people to attend Liberty Baptist Church and other independent Bible-believing Baptist churches in the Las Vegas Valley that we've established. What a wonderful one. And this is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God is doing what we cannot do. The Bible says if we're faithful to God, if we're faithful in the area of tithing, that God will open up doors that we're not able to receive. And I want you to understand that God has done that. It's amazing, the blessings that He's poured out upon us. Beyond that, it's a way to make ourselves available to those who will receive us. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus is sending out 70 of His apostles. He says, when you go out, look, there's going to be people who receive what you have to say and people who reject what you have to say. Don't worry about it. If they receive you into their house, stay there. If they reject you, then that's no problem. Just knock the dust off your feet. Well, the truth of the matter is, we're going to have that kind of coverage in the Las Vegas Valley, all around the valley. Is everybody going to tune in? No. But there will be people who will receive us, and we're going to have an opportunity to preach the gospel. God's been giving us great doors of opportunity. And if God opens a door, if you believe we should walk through that door, say amen. And God has opened some wonderful doors. God is building His church. And God is building this church, His church, in a unique way. I had no idea what God was going to do when we came back to Las Vegas. In fact, if you had asked me if this is what God would be doing 38 years ago, I'd have thought, no, this isn't the plan. But God builds His church His way. And we need to be totally and completely surrendered to Him. And when God opens a door, we need to go through it. I want to encourage you, number one, to pray for us as we're beginning this new venture. And I want you to pray for us collectively as a church because we're doing this together. Encourage your friends to follow us and tell them, once the radio station is up and running, tell them about it. Let them know. You say, well, is it just going to come on and just come on like gangbusters? It's going to come on. It's going to come on like gangbusters. And you know what? There's going to be all sorts of problems. You say, why? Because there's giants in the land. And anytime you start anything fresh and you're new at something, you're going to make mistakes. Did you ever make mistakes? Listen, when you first started tying your shoes, did you make mistakes? It took you a little while to learn how to tie your shoes. Most people weren't just like me. When my mom said, this is the way to do it, I said, okay, no problem. I tied my shoe. I said, see you later, Mother. And by the way, I'll be home at 12 for lunch. Please have me some ham and cheese. That's what I did in kindergarten, not because there was no problems whatsoever. No, that's not the way it operates. You had to learn to get up and walk, and you had to learn to tie your shoes, and you had to learn how to dress yourself, and you had to learn. Every time we start something new, we learn. Any business that starts up starts off, and there's some hiccups. I'm sure we'll have some hiccups, and maybe a series of hiccups. But the fact of the matter is, God is doing this. And if God's in it, then we're going to, and he is, because we wouldn't be this far if it wasn't God. This is totally and completely God. So I want you to pray. Pray as we face the giants. Encourage people to be involved. If you feel led, give. If you don't feel led, then give to something else. And if you say, what else? Talk to me. I'll share with you there so you can get it. And then please listen. Get involved. Allow, the reason this radio station is here is to be able to be fed the Word of God over and over again throughout the Word of God. Throughout the day, let your life, let God use this in your life to feed you the Word of God. God has blessed. And I just wanted to take tonight to let you know where we're going and some of the things that we're doing. We're excited about what God is doing. And what God has done this year has been amazing. It's been a time of regrouping and restructuring, and it's been wonderful to see God work. Please continue to pray that God will continue to work. If you're here tonight, you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know this. This church is all about one thing. We want people to know for sure they're going to heaven. And the only way you can know that is by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We've talked about the fact that he died for us, he was buried, he rose from the dead, and he went to heaven after being seen by hundreds of eyewitnesses. The only way you can get to heaven is by putting your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has done for you. I encourage you, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight if you've never done that. Christian, let's pray that God will continue to use us for his glory. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. If there's someone here that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray that before they leave here tonight, they'll put their faith and trust in you. They'll receive you as their Lord and Savior. And God, I pray that you'll use what has been said tonight to encourage your people about your work. And Father, I ask this in your name.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.